Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Blue Collar Happy Hour. Today, we have a man, a local legend, if you will. He's owned bait stores. He's owned gas stations. He's owned liquor stores. He's owned bars. Rhett, how's it going today?
It's going real good.
Good. Well, thanks for coming on, dude. We've been actually trying to get you on here for the past like 6 months, but you're a busy guy.
Yep. Pretty crazy.
You got always something going on. And that's obviously one of the reasons why we want to have you on. We admire the grind. Like, you got so much shit going on. So you own what do you own? What are you involved with even?
Right now I'm involved with the Brood Marathon. We own that. And the Liquor Box, the liquor store across the freeway. Marge's Pub and Grub, the bar restaurant in Brook Park. And Hurricane Car Wash down in Isani.
I didn't even know about the car wash. He's got his hands in everything. So, no, I think, like, one of the biggest things to me that stands out is, like, why would you buy your own competitor for just, like, you own two liquor stores right next to each other?
Well, one of the reasons was you hear a lot of people would come to the gas station and we didn't have this or we didn't have that. And the selection over there was much wider, you know. The liquor store at the gas station is just the basics, kind of the basic liquor and the basic beer. So I wanted to capitalize on that.
Right.
Before somebody else.
So you're like, I got to have all the other shit. People want to buy the other shit. They might as well buy it from me.
Well, right. And for me as a past marathon worker, actually.
Oh, that's right.
One thing I always heard was like, oh, down the street, they've got this for a dollar less or that. You know, people always were comparing the
always
two.
Always the deals.
Yeah, in which they should realize, I mean, it's a convenience. We don't have the room. We're going to pay a little more at the gas station.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So, like, there's a little bit of a gas station tax on the...
convenience tax.
Well, think about
well,
it.
Well, the other problem is...
It makes sense.
Like buys, you know, you can do bigger buys, which brings your price down. So we can hold that at the liquor store. There's not that kind of room at the gas station.
Right.
So...
Dang. Well, okay, so this guy worked for you.
Yeah.
Sam. Sir. Sam was a previous employee.
He was.
We were talking... And he was telling me that he failed miserably at a sting operation.
My second day on the job, actually.
So how often do you get these sting operations at the liquor store and at the gas station?
Usually about twice a year.
Really?
Yeah. Usually
okay, that's way
it
more
seems
often
like
than
when
I
they get the kids get out of school, seems like.
That's when they like to do it.
That's
like
when they got me. That's when they, dude, I
so
swear
that must
to God.
Be when they find this, them.
So
I still don't believe
this.
Him. I still don't believe him. This guy, full beard, very tall. He looked like he was at least 35 years old. Possibly could have been my dad at the time.
Well, Sam, you were told to card him if they look under 50.
Yeah. So, you know, I messed up. I didn't ask for his ID. Next thing you know, I see the same case of beer I just sold. But this time it was being carried by a cop. And he had his badge right on front and said, like, so who sold this case of beer? Motherfucker. And he was actually very nice to me. You know, he asked me, he's like, how long have you worked here? I'm like, oh, this is my second day. He's like, all right, we'll give you a break here. And he didn't write us up, gave us a warning, which I still feel horrible for.
Well, at least we only got a warning.
Thank God.
Only does it go on you, it goes on us too.
Yeah, that was a rough day. That was an embarrassing day.
Were you scared shitless?
Oh, my thing was, you know, I need to tell Rhett. He wasn't there at the time. I remember going back to the cooler, making that call, and that was a tough call to make. I've got to say it's in
this?
The top 10 calls.
Then I drove up there, and there was like a brown spot right in the back of his pants.
Yeah, dude, I would be so scared.
Dude, it sucks, man. That's a rough thing to go through.
Oh,
yeah.
I would imagine. My God. So you get these about two times a year. How often do you think that some of these have been, like, detrimental to, like, some of your staff? Have you had to fire someone over this?
No. Pretty close. I mean, none of them have done it a second time.
Yeah, okay.
But part of that has to do with most of them aren't there that long. So.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, we get into, we ask every business owner we've ever had on this, on the Blue Collar Happy Hour, we always ask, like, you deal with employees on a regular basis, and you have quite a few employees. Like, well, how do you get a good employee out of the people that you got working for you?
I don't even know how to answer that. But what I can tell you is, about 5 years ago, pre-COVID, I would say, the whole COVID era bullshit, I would say it was people actually cared about what they're doing. They would listen. Nowadays, I just feel like nobody cares. But you can't even hold people accountable, really.
It's not even worth yelling at them.
No, they don't care. Well, whatever, I quit, or whatever. Versus before, you know, you could talk to somebody, correct problems, people cared. We're living in a whole new era nowadays.
How do you think, like, the business model of the liquor store and bar industry is going to be changing here as we move into this weird new age where, like, everything's all online?
That's a pretty good question.
I was just thinking about this. Like, what happens when these kids that are just playing Minecraft 24/7 are the bar drinking age, and then they just drink, but they're just drinking at home while they're playing Minecraft or whatever, you know?
Well, I mean, that would help the liquor store. Yeah. But I do think that, I mean, we're already seeing a big change in the drinking at the bar and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
really?
It's slowed down big time.
Really? I suppose. Does it? I mean, obviously it fluctuates seasonally big time, I would imagine. Yeah. There's not much else to do around here in the wintertime.
Correct.
Well, that's one thing that's been very hard for me to comprehend is I turned 21 in 2020. So I've never experienced true bar life before COVID. And I always hear, like, oh, dude, this bar used to be awesome back in the day.
Yeah.
And, like, when I say back in the day, I mean, like, fucking 6 years ago. You know? And well, it's wild.
A lot of the thing, too, is that people don't have the staff, you know. So there's a lot of places not even open, you know. They might not open till Friday.
Right. Well, one thing a lot of people don't realize in the service industry, you had a lot of people that were there 20, 30 years that are now like, oh, shit, like, the governor can just tell me I can't work? Like, obviously, now I'm going to go for a job that has more stability.
Right.
You know, I need some sort of reassurance that I can't just tomorrow get my job taken away from me without my say.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I've never seen. I think that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah. I've never seen so many people since I've been. I mean, obviously, I've worked a long time, not just in this industry, but a lot of people nowadays, I've never seen so many people just show up one day. And then you never fucking hear from them again.
Then you're done.
Like,
I went.
Yeah. Are you coming to work today? Like, are you gonna show up? I have to beg people that I just hired a fucking day ago to come into work the next day.
Yeah, can you please? Can you just come and stock for me? Like, negotiating with everyone differently.
And you kind of you're figuring that out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, helping my dad out with the bar. Like, that's a huge area that I've never navigated before. That now this year And I know this year is an anomaly, but, like, we've gone through more bar staff this year than I'm sure we have in the last 3 years in total. Yep. It's, like, crazy.
I was telling Sam before we got on set here that you would never think how hard it is just to run a bar. I mean, let alone the gas station and whatever. But for some reason, the bar industry, restaurant, it's just crazy right now.
I don't even know where to begin with that, because that's like a whole can of worms that we can open up. But, like, out of everything that you've been involved with now, car washes, liquor stores, gas stations, bait stores, like, what's your favorite line of work? Like, where's your real passion at lie and what you're doing?
Just the daily grind. I love to be busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wake up and know you have a full plate of shit to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I get a thrill out of that. But when it comes down to the employee thing, now that's a whole nother ballgame.
Right.
Like, if me, Mike and I get down to the car wash, the other owner, it's honestly like a decompress. If somebody pulls in and they start bitching, you're just like, hey, man, I'm the janitor. Yeah. Are you the owner? No, I'm just the janitor.
Yeah, hell no.
I'm just washing the floor.
The owner? That guy sucks.
I mean, that's kind of like the decompress. I actually really enjoy that.
Yeah.
So let's take it back a little bit to your first business that you started. What encouraged you to start a business in the first place? Did you have a mentor that taught you how to start it? Did you just wing it? What What got you into the
totally
field?
Totally fucking winged it.
So your first one was a bait shop, right?
Yeah, Red's Bait and Tackle in Rock Creek, Minnesota. I was sitting over at the Cricket one day, drinking my life away. It was 2008 when the market crashed, and work was pretty scarce, actually. Construction, anyways, my line of work, what I first started out in.
What were you doing? Were you just a laborer or what?
I've done a lot of things. Framing. I was actually pipe insulating at that time.
Okay.
Mechanical pipe insulation.
So you're sitting at the bar, you're like, I need to do something. Yeah. Like I need to make some more money.
Laid off, and I was like, well, I had recently gotten divorced. I was like, oh, I always wanted to start a bait shop. So that's what I'm going to do.
Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I was living at a buddy of mine's house, and I figured, well, fuck it. If nothing else, I can live in the bait shop. It had a shower and whatnot, so.
Even better.
Made a go of it.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Now, like.
A true come-up story.
It was, honestly.
Yeah. I was just tired of people not appreciating my worth ethic. I was the person that showed up every day.
Right.
Put my 8 hours of work in. Gave it my all.
And now you could do it for yourself, not for the man, you know, essentially.
Yeah. Changes the whole reason why you're doing it. Now, in building a bait store, like that to me just seems like a really hard line of work because it fluctuates so much.
Yeah, and I learned that the hard way.
I guess, yeah.
Feast or famine is what I call the bait business.
So you've had a couple different locations. You've had a couple different bait stores, right?
Yep.
Now, what's the key detail to a bait shop that, like, keeps a bait store running? Because, like, selling minnows obviously doesn't keep the bills paid. Right. So, like, what is the business model of a bait store? How do bait stores stay open?
Well, you want to make sure that you're, like, any other business, really, retail-wise, or, you know, a location where you're walking in, walking out deal. Got to be there every day at the same time and be open the hours that the sign says.
Yep.
I mean, and that can obviously get tiring.
Yeah.
When you're doing it yourself. I mean, at that time, I was doing it all myself. I didn't have any employees at that time and just doing the grind. And then a couple times I did fuck up.
What is, I mean.
And show up at 9 a.m. after a hard night at the Cricket or.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh,
and I absolutely. Heard about it. There's nothing more embarrassing, I can tell you that, than being late for a boss, that ain't shit.
Right.
Being late to your customers, that's fucking
embarrassing. They're just yeah. waiting by the door.
They're just like, yeah. What the fuck, dude?
You haven't even wiped your eye boogers yet.
I'm sure there's people that are like, this is pathetic. Yep. Yeah, like I'm trying to give you my money and that's not even good enough for you?
But I never did lie. Because when I was late, it was because I was beat and I stayed out way too late the night before. Yeah. I'm like, sorry, yeah, man. I got fucked up last night, and I kind of deserved it, I thought.
That's a nice chuckle. Little self-punishment.
I'd give them all free bait, and then on with the day we go.
On to the next business day.
Yep.
Red, I'm sorry. I wish you would have cut me off, because, Red, I'm going to be honest with you. This has been weighing on my conscience for years, but I have to tell you the truth today. When I was 16 years old, I went to your bait shop. The one right next to Holiday. And, you know, I was just trying to catch a sturgeon, maybe a catfish. The door was closed. There was a little cooler that said, leave the money for some worms.
All the off season.
I didn't leave any money, and I'm so sorry to this day. So I hope you have maybe Venmo or Cash App. I'd like to send you a couple dollars. Maybe we can get even on there.
I'm going to blame you for closing that store.
I'm sorry. I take full responsibility.
How long ago you think this was?
I was 16, so about 7 years ago now.
Oof. How much was it? What do you think the amount of money at the time was? Dollar?
It was a good back of worms there.
$350. What do you think the interest is?
I didn't have the cash. I didn't want to go across town.
At least a case of Bush Light, you owe me.
I think you're right. Hey, how about this? I'll come to Marge's and I'll buy you a couple beers.
All right.
We'll call it good there. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Why am I calling the shots? I'm the one that did you dirty.
Yeah, why are you demanding him to go places?
Well, hey, I like when people admit the shit they did wrong. So.
Hey, if you were open, I would have used my card, but.
Oh, card.
He was probably just too busy at the Cricket that day. Honestly, just didn't feel like coming in.
No, that was the off season. You get to them days when the ice is going out.
And it doesn't even pay to be there.
It doesn't pay to be there.
I will say your location, when you bring up location for a bait shop, everybody that I know, when we go ice fishing, at some point we're hitting the bait shop and the gas station. When, well, now it's great at Marathon, you can get them both right there, but there is nothing better than going from Holiday right into Tall Tales, everything you need, hit the ice. That, right. That was a great location.
That's kind of what I created up at Marathon.
Which, same situation. Right. It's the best. Yep. Get your bait, get your snacks on your way.
After, you know, you're talking about, you know, how did we move up the chain? And, like, that's the stuff I realized. You can't make it just with a bait shop. And so just adding all this other stuff to it.
Right.
Made it work. A lot better.
Turning it into this kind of one-stop shop, yeah. Like more of a convenience store area rather than just a gas station, right. Just a bait shop, or just a liquor store.
Because at a lot of times, I mean, it isn't always about making the actual profit of the money. It's about cash flow.
Right.
Yep.
You know, you got to have the cash flow.
So Baroon, you know, it's a very small town, small community, and I'm sure these people are diehards for Marathon because I live in Rock Creek. I go to the Rock Creek Marathon every single day, at least once a day. Have you made any friends with your regulars or met any new people that all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, you must live right down the block because this man's here three times a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
When I worked there, there was at least 10 guys that I knew were going to come in every single day.
Yeah. A lot of guys driving down to the cities for work and...
Definitely that morning rush. Yep. That's another thing that you did is you made it a point to be open early for the morning rush before work.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than pulling into a gas station on your way to work and they're closed.
Yeah.
Right.
What time do you guys open up at the gas station?
4 a.m.
Damn.
Thank fucking God. So, I have a very, very good employee.
I was going to say, like, who the hell do you hire that is willing to be there at 4 in the morning every day?
I don't know what's going to happen when she retires, but she doesn't, and she's never late. Never, never, never.
That's insane.
That's why
me.
I laugh about some of these employees. That lady lives 15 miles out of town on one of the shittiest roads, and I had people call in this winter like, oh, I can't make it to work. Natalie made it. The 15-mile trek through fucking snowdrifts that were taller than her car. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I was 5 minutes late.
Shout out, Natalie. She is a true trooper.
If she did it, y'all should get your ass to work. Because there ain't no excuses if she can make it.
It's always tough. Like, how do you get people to show up on time? Like, do you dangle the carrot? Like, hey, if you're on time more, I'll pay you more. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you've experimented with plenty of ways. Like, what is, like... What's your go-to for a method of hey, I need you to be better at your job?
Sometimes it is about money to some people, but believe it or not, it's not always about that. I try and do it a respect thing. Like, put yourself in my position if you own this. A lot of times, even when people ask me questions, I say, what would you do if it was your store? Because sometimes I just get burnt out, and quite frankly, I might not know the fucking answer. So right. I just say, what would you do if it was your store? And go from there.
Do you ever get any good, like, legitimate responses where you're like, oh, you know, shit, I never thought about it like that?
No, most of the time they're like,
I would pay me more. Yeah.
Yeah. I just try and treat people with the respect. I mean, I think more than anything, it comes down to a respect issue.
Yeah. You know, where people feel like, hey, they feel like I'm a piece of dirt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, I don't give a shit about here.
Yeah, that's kind of why I ask them their thoughts on it or what they would do if it was their store. You know, make them, I mean, I do. They need to feel important, too, and they need to be part of the stores if they're working there.
Yeah. So, I mean, being involved with not gas stations, liquor stores, bait stores, I feel like these three industries are some of the highest rates of shoplifting that there is. How do you prevent people from shoplifting, and what are some experiences you've had with people trying to steal from you?
Well,
I would imagine the gas station has got to be wild.
Oh, I've seen some shit there even in my one summer.
Well, you guys know where we live, so
yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
We have a lot of drug activity up here.
Yeah.
So dealing with those people can be something.
Can you think of any instances?
I've seen the cops on the lot a couple times, that's for sure.
Yeah. Can you think of any instances you had someone, that where you caught someone stealing while they're in the store?
A lot of times, believe it or not, some of these people have their kids do it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
They'll have their kids stealing for
them? Yeah, I've watched that go down before. I literally sat, I was in the office doing some computer stuff, and I happened to look up on the camera, and I couldn't hear anything, but I could physically watch this guy point stuff out to his kid and tell the kid what to take. And then he just, like, walked around. And then this kid.
No way.
Yeah.
Because you would never suspect a kid of trying to do that.
No.
Well, and then he could just be like, oh, Jimmy, you grab that, put that back. Right. You know, worst case scenario. So
I'm like just getting fumed thinking about this. I'm thinking, this guy, what a fucking piece of shit.
Literally.
So I waited out for a while and I'm just watching this. And how do you even confront that is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. How?
So I just walked out in the aisle, and I walked up to the guy, and I said, you know, you are a piece of fucking shit.
Just straight
real
up.
Real calmly, and he's like, I said, you know, I'm the owner here, and I just watched what you did. I watched the whole fucking thing. You totally talked to your kid, showed your kid what you wanted him to steal. Because you were too fucking cheap to buy it for the kid, or you should have just told him if you didn't have the money, tell him he can't have it. But, and he just looked at me like a ghost. Like he didn't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I just, you know what?
So whatever came of this?
I just told him,
hey, empty your kid's pocket.
Yeah, like go get the shit back from your kid, put it on the counter. I didn't even know how to deal with it, but that's like one of the things that sticks out in my head.
It's such a weird situation.
It'd be so awkward. I wouldn't even know how to start with that.
I remember one time I was working. It was Friday late at night. Me and Tony, shout out Tony, and this big, it was like a old creeper van. You know, it was white or silver van. Can't remember the exact color, but I want to say five or six women walked in, and they looked rough. They looked like they just came off the Sunnyvale trailer park. Yeah, like they'd had a tough one. And I remember the one girl, big ass girl, she comes in, she's like, y'all got EBT? We're like, yeah. They're looking around. I swear to God, all at once, they grabbed as much shit as they could with one hand, ran out the door, got in the van, took off. I couldn't believe it. I was just standing there. I was behind the counter. I couldn't do a thing about it.
Right.
It was crazy. We
also
called the cops.
What are you going to do? Chase down five people?
Oh, yeah. And they were parked right at the gas pump, so they were out of there super quick. We called the cops. They're like, I mean, we can kind of look for them. I had a partial license plate, but it's a tough situation. That was crazy. I'd never seen anyone just blatantly steal like that.
You guys want to hear you got me thinking, no. How about drive-offs?
Oh, I bet. I never even thought of that.
My best drive-off story that I can remember. So this dude pulled up, and I got two good drive-off stories. This one.
So for context, obviously, a drive-off is when someone comes up, pumps their gas, and then doesn't pay.
Correct. And then just takes off. I mean, some of these people are so gutsy. A lot of times, you know, we're in small town of Baroon, whatever. People will ding in for you to approve the pump to pay inside or whatever. And some of these fuckers that drive off, they're like, waving at you, and you're like, oh, all right, I must know him. I must be a new guy.
Yeah.
Approve the button. This guy, there's a lady walking out of the front door. This guy takes off, almost fucking runs her right over. I mean, like, she was laying on the damn hood.
Oh, my God.
So I hear, we call the police and whatnot. Come to find out, like, a half hour later, this turned into a high-speed chase that ended up down in Chisago County. Dude was out in the middle of the field, ran away.
No way.
It was just some crazy story. The car was stolen.
I remember hearing about this, actually.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Down on Hogsback, down by Rush there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a big
deal. Oh, that's big, so crazy.
That's insane. So he just pulled up like, yep, hey.
Yep.
You know me. I'm good for it. I'll meet you inside after I'm done pumping this.
That reminded me my very first drive off after when I took the store over, snowing like a bitch one morning. Guy has a hood on. He's on the end pump, number two, facing the road. I'm like cooking a pizza in the back to put in the warmer. And I walk out there. and the thing's dinging. So I'm like, oh. So I look out there. I'm like, guy's like, just waving like a son of a bitch. Has his hood on, snowing like a motherfucker. And I'm like, oh, I approve it. I go on back to take the pizza out. I come back out, and the fucker's gone. That was my first ever drive off. I'm like, I kind of chuckled about it. I'm like, whoa, I just got fucked. That guy's got some balls, though. He was like, hey.
How long did you own the place before you got your first drive off?
Oh, probably like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, it's a pretty often thing that happens.
That's one thing I can't believe is, what are these people thinking? I mean, with today's technology, cameras and whatnot, I mean,
like you have all their information.
People
right
do
there.
It everywhere, though. I mean, it's not just, I talk to other owners of gas stations. And shit. It's just crazy.
Well, you see, like, pretty much every gas station in town is going to that prepay.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of quick trips you go to, you got to prepay.
Everywhere now.
It makes sense.
It does make sense, but it really sucks for me because we are in a very small town up there. And the problem is now with the employee rollover and turnover times and all this, we had to go to that too because of the drive offs. But it sucks for the people that do come there every day.
Right. Yeah.
That are my friends, that are employees' friends.
Trust me. You got to take an extra
the
trip
problem
to go
is,
inside.
So what I actually did is I went to, as far as if you don't know this person 100% and you can't identify them, then and you hit that approve button, then you're going to be responsible.
That's on you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that to everybody because there are, you know, we have a lot of older people up there too. I mean, they don't want to walk back and forth 20 times, you know.
Right.
And half of the goal is you want to get them in the store anyways.
Right.
So
that's that. I never even thought about it like that either. So is there a method to your, to where you have everything located at in the gas station?
Like, you mean for sales wise?
Yeah. Like, is there items specifically
laid out? Well, yeah,
right
next to the checkout counter, there's all the kid shit, all the kid candy, like right at kid level.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always 3 feet and under.
Yeah. And then you walk in and there's all your like little snacks and then all the shit up by the register where just like you're sitting there in line and you're like, oh, fuck it. No, you don't fucking need that. But you're grabbing
shit
it.
Always gets me. Swear to God.
I caught myself doing that the other day. I'm like, Ace Hardware, you're in there buying some shit. And yep. I'm like, ooh, Earl's Cheese Puffs.
You're like, fuck yeah, I could go for a flashlight that has a knife in it.
So drive-offs are one thing. What I'm curious is how many people have driven away with the pump still in their car.
Oh, fuck.
Dude. I've done it.
You've been there?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you bring it back? Because that was my next question.
You're a special kind.
Okay, so let me just preface this and say my wife was sober cabbing me and Tyler. And I'm in the passenger seat. She stops at the gas pump. I get out, and I pay, I put my card in, I pump,
what a gentleman.
Start pumping gas. I get back in, but as soon as, and I'm fucked up.
Yep.
When I get back in, I put on my seatbelt, just out of complete habit of just getting into a vehicle. So she thinks it's done. So she just starts driving. And I was out of it, so I just didn't even think anything of it. I'm just looking straight. And all of a sudden we hear, boom! And it's just like the back of the hose. This hose stretched like 30 feet. Like this thing went
holy
far.
Shit. And doesn't it have a connection too on it?
It has what's called a quick breakaway.
Yeah, okay. So it was this like little knuckle on it, like snapped right off, and it like whap, like smacked the back of her car. And her and Tyler are both like, what the fuck? What was that? And I'm just like, oh shit, it was still pumping. And so I get out and this thing is just hanging there. So I get it and I bring it inside. This is at the Rock Creek gas station.
Yeah.
And I bring it in and the lady in there, I was like, I think I just broke this off. She's like, no, it just pops back on. And I was like, okay, you want me to just leave it here? Or what do you want me to do? And the lady's like, honestly, I don't even know how to put it on. And I was like, well, like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just leave it out by the pump? She's like, can you try to put it back on?
Oh.
And I was like, I guess I can. So I like got up on top of the gas pump and I'm like, I had to like twist. It was super easy. You just like twist it back on.
You're a really smart guy if you can do that because I have employees that can't do that.
I figured it out. No instruction, but this lady inside had no idea how to do it. She was pretty concerned. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll put it back on. So you know, it was just kind of like a really embarrassing moment because we still had to finish pumping gas too. So I, like, oh boy. I just went to a different pump just in case I didn't put it on right.
Well, that's what they'll do. I mean, sometimes they will go back on and they'll be fine. Sometimes you'll think you have them on, but I've seen it.
I start spraying.
Where somebody put it back on and you go to pump gas and that fucker's just like a wild whip fucking diesel or whatever flying everywhere.
Oh, have you ever had to hit the emergency stop?
I've seen it hit. Really?
Let's go way beyond all the drive offs and all that shit. Somebody backed right over my fucking diesel pump, brand new. Everybody around here knows that the Marathon has needed new gas pumps for quite some time. So I get these brand new gas pumps in.
But what does a gas pump cost?
Nowadays, about $25,000-$30,000.
Wow. Dude, that is crazy to me. Okay, continue. Well, someone you're backed over. Me,
I shit my pants when I see that. But yeah, so this lady pulls up on the west side of the building, and the diesel pump is a little ways back. I'm up ice fishing with some buddies, and I get a call from Tony, and he's like, you're not going to believe this. I said, well, what now? What the fuck happened now? Well, some lady just backed right over the diesel pump. I mean, like, it's laying on the fucking ground.
Oh, fuck.
So that was quite the experience. And, of course, she had no insurance. No insurance.
Of course. So what happens in a situation like that? Are you like, hey, you got to...
I actually called the cops and... apparently I found out, so I had to turn it into my insurance. My insurance covers it, and then my insurance goes after her.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they'll get her at tax time or
whatever. They'll find a way.
Yeah, if it takes them 40 years, they'll figure it out, is what I was told. She's like, don't worry about it, but, you know, then I have to pay the deductible and all the bullshit, and then I don't have a diesel pump for how long? I mean, she fucked that thing up. All the way down to the underground. Like,
that's insane. Yeah. I mean, that's not just like a light tap.
No.
That's like, oh, I'm in full reverse.
She had no idea she even did it. That's the funny part. They went running out there and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Huh?
What's going on? I had no idea. I was just messing around out here, and I just figured I would, you know,
pretty much
hit the parking lot. Yeah. You said you've been there when you had to hit the stop.
Oh, yeah, dude. Some people. So, first of all, some people's vehicles, I mean, they might have not known this, but they found out that day that their vehicle doesn't tell the gas to stop. And all of a sudden you look out and there's gas just pouring down the side.
Oh, no, Sam, that's our fault.
Yeah. It was always our fault. Your pump is horrible. Yeah. And
I love the people that come into the gas station and it blatantly says, I mean, we're kind of talking about the same thing here, touching on the same subject. But the people that come in when it blatantly says right there, it's against the law to leave a vehicle while it's filling with fuel.
Yeah.
And then they come out and there's fucking 5 gallons of gas on the deal, on the floor, ground, whatever. And then, well, it's our fault.
It's I'm not paying for that.
Oh, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. Like, hey, it's not my gas.
Yeah. It's our fault. That was faulty. It's our fault.
Oh, my God. So have you had to personally hit the emergency stop button?
That's the one and only time I personally got to hit it. And it wasn't a good moment because obviously we just wasted gas, but it felt good in my position to be like, big red button, yes.
Oh, boy.
So one thing I wanted to get into is your newer liquor store, Red's Liquor Box. Famous name around town. People love it. My dad, biggest fan of the name. What's the inspiration of Red's Liquor Box? Because absolute genius marketing there.
About 24 Busch Lights in a serious conversation of what is going to bring people in.
How am I going to get people to this tiny little town, this liquor store that's middle of nowhere?
I have to give some credit to Jamie Newman for that. He definitely helped me out with that.
That's hilarious.
God, that's so funny.
The logo's got a tongue on it and everything.
Yep, right here. Right on the head.
Right there.
Oh, man. That just a genius name. You can't go wrong there. Because it's it's not gruesome, you know. It's not like it's completely inappropriate, but if you think about it a little too long, it becomes inappropriate, which I love.
Yeah. Well, my wife's mother, she's like, oh, I'm going to come up and get a T-shirt. And her husband was like, Jan, do you get it?
Do you understand?
She's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, man.
He's like, Jan, lick her box. And then she about and turned bright red and decided not to get a T-shirt.
Do you guys go through a lot of merchandise up there?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We probably sell as much merchandise as we do cases of beer.
That's crazy. That's a great problem to have.
Was why we decided to go with that, really. I mean, we have people pulling off the freeway, taking pictures of the sign. And I dig that. I fucking love that shit.
Yeah.
I'll go out the front door and I'm like, yeah.
So, oh, man, that's awesome.
I've only had one complaint.
Is this, you had like a Karen pull up and she's like, how can you name your store like this? Yeah. My kid sees this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly how it went down.
Oh, really?
And since it was only one complaint in 2 years, I was like, I don't even get it. What do you mean? I just played it off. Like, you got a dirty mind.
Get your mind out of the gutter, lady.
Yeah. We got four walls and we sell liquor here. I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many people come in and love it and take pictures and buy shit, and I think it's great.
Do you think that it's a problem when bar owners are hanging out at their own bar too much, like on the other side of the bar?
Yeah.
Have you seen that be a big deterrence in that industry from people that want to come in?
Say that again.
Like, so for example, people that own the bar,
yep,
hanging out at the bar,
yep, but
drinking at the bar.
Correct.
Do you think that's a big deterrence for people not wanting to hang out there?
I do. Yeah. Mike and I both try not to do that.
That's how I was going to ask.
You gotta hang around and I just, we have our outings, but definitely try not to make it a regular thing.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you got to be there. The hard part is, though, everybody was like, oh, I want to buy you a beer, or you get talking and the next thing you know. But I think that's the main thing. I try and get in there in the morning, stop in the afternoon kind of deal.
Yep.
Because it can be a problem.
Oh, I would imagine, because it's like, it's right there. Like, there's already stuff you got to be doing, but you can kind of double up. You can be social, like helping the vibe at the crowd.
You got to keep telling yourself, not here to get fucked up. Not here to get fucked up.
What's your policy that you treat with your bartenders? Are they able to have like a drink?
Yeah.
You know,
while they're working. I mean, if somebody buys them a shot, but then, you know, sometimes that shit starts getting out of control. One turns into 20.
Oh,
yeah. You give them an inch, they take a mile. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Or you tell them you can't drink here. What I try and say is, why are you here on your day off? Like, take the day off. Get out of here. You can't be in here looking like drunk and crazy. People look at you differently. This recently happened like yesterday.
Oh, really? Where you're like, hey,
fresh on the mind.
Oh, yeah. We had a golf cart. You guys wouldn't believe what goes on in Brook Park.
Oh, I love that.
You guys should come out and film some shit for a day in Brook Park.
Absolutely.
We got kids that can't even fit on a four-wheeler, towing four kids in a boat, behind that on a trailer.
Oh, my God.
Golf carts with, yesterday was a golf cart with truck tires on it, car tires, and I'm pretty sure it had a snowmobile engine in it.
Jesus.
They come whipping around, and mind you, one of the bartenders is on her day off, but she's hanging out with this dude, and I'm like, oh, this is, you're making a fool of yourself.
This is not a good look.
They come whipping around the corner. She's like, oh, I'm in love with this guy. I'm going to hang out with him all day. Comes around the corner, fucking boom, right into the building. Knocked out the cigarette.
Oh, my God.
She goes flying over the front, and they're like, I'm sorry. I guess it doesn't have any brakes.
I guess. Like,
you didn't fucking check that before you left? What, a golf cart and a snowmobile engine on the son of a bitch?
Oh, man.
I mean, I had to laugh my ass off when I seen the thing. I'm not shitting you. It had 16-inch fucking car tires on it.
Jesus.
Yeah, pretty wild. Brook Park is a wild little town.
What's the population of where your bar's at?
Like 700, and that's in like,
it's bigger than what I thought.
That's probably the whole that's got to be including like the whole township. In town, there's probably like I don't know, 10 trailers and 2 A-frames.
Big old town of Brook Park.
You gotta love Brook Park, brother.
You blink, you miss it. Well, Red, dude, we appreciate you coming on. I think that's pretty much all the time that we have for this Blue Collar Happy Hour. Is there anything you want to plug before we leave here?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody that's helped me out along the way to get to where I'm at, because I have had a lot of help, and I just want to shout out to all them people. You know who you are, so.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
I want to say thank you to them.
If you're ever in the Pine City area, go check out Red's Liquor Box, Marge's Pub and Grub, and what else? Marathon Gas Station. Go get your gas there.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks Cheers. For being a great boss. Sorry right. for stealing those worms.
No problem, Sam.
Interest on a 350.
Shit, that's a lot of interest now.